It's time to turn the pages. It's time to type it right. It's time to get things started on the most booktational, inspirational Once Upon an Author show. Here's your host, Danielle M. Orsino. Yay!
I keep so much bottled up because I don't want to push people away. But sometimes I don't even know who I am under all of that. Rogue from the X-Men. Welcome back to Once Upon an Author. Today, we're switching things up a little bit. So here's the deal, guys. I had something totally different planned. I was ready to go. I had everything ready. I told Tyler, my chosen producer, we're going to do this. He had music queued up. It was all set. And then something happened, which I'm totally going to get into that in a second because it's really exciting. And I promised when I had little successes and failures, I would let you guys in on everything behind the scenes. But let's get into that quote first because it's going to roll into everything that's going on today, including what happened. So, Rogue's words really resonated with me because they captured the feeling of being caught between wanting to speak your truth and fearing how it'll be received. And it's a struggle that women particularly know, but I'm sure everybody out there can relate. You know, you want to say something, whether good, bad, indifferent, you know, and sometimes you just want to say it, but you're not sure how people will really react because you don't want to be interpreted as either being difficult, demanding, maybe you're scared you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, or it's just a quirky, you know, kind of personality thing and you're really not sure. And sometimes, I mean, I've had this for like a number of reasons why I haven't done it. And I'm sure many of you have as well. But sometimes I feel like the whole world is judging. And I'm sure a lot of us out there feel that way when really we're all just wrapped in our own crap. That's just how it is. But you can't help but feel like you're being judged, especially now with social media. Let's face it, most of us are being judged. We see what's going on social media. A lot of people feel the need to comment, even if it's just something so innocuous that you don't need a comment, but they want to put it in there. So let's get into why I've changed the show. As I promised on the start of this, I would share failures and victories. And this time, I actually have a victory to share that goes back to my initial introduction in all of this. For the first time ever, I can actually call myself a number one best-selling author. I have made Amazon's number one best-selling list. Yay! I
feel congratulations.
Like I got to bring them back and be like, yay! You know? Thank you. I am so excited. I got the little banner thing, you know, that orange little banner that they can't take away from me now. Oh. Unless I enlist the book, which I will never do. I got the little banner. Locked Out of Heaven, the Kindle version, is number one. We are considered a hot new release in teen and young adult, which I'm going to get into that whole thing in a second, in fiction, ancient civilization fictions, historical, alternate historical fiction, all that stuff. We are now number one.
Do you have it so you can show us here on the live stream here at Facebook?
I don't, but I'm gonna send it to you though. It's on my Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. We can post it so that people can see it, of course.
You know what? Yes, I'm gonna post it because I have other things to go with it because I didn't just make one list. I didn't make just one.
Wait, and, more than one list?
Oh, yeah. I was on the list. And I was a bestseller, not number one, but bestseller in every one of my niches. Because you know how they have like the three categories?
Right.
We ranked in all of them on the bestseller.
Were they all the same number or different numbers?
No, different numbers.
Okay.
And my novella, Danius and Jane, made the bestseller list for the first time.
Well, I don't want to overuse it, but...
Thank you. Which ties into this whole thing. So I'm gonna take this all in for a second because this has never happened to me ever. I have made the Amazon like top 100 list for like an hour, you know, and I've been like number 88 because, you know, I sold like 5 books and I've gotten it, you know. Now I've gotten it in like Dragons and Mythical Creatures, which is against Game of Thrones in the adult category. And don't get me wrong, I was riding pretty high for that moment. And then literally 15 minutes later, I was gone. But I stayed on it all day into this morning. And I have been in the top 100 for the last week. But yesterday I was number one and I got the banner. And now when you go on Amazon, I'm like listed as a hot new author and a hot new release. So they're kind of doing the push out and the marketing for me, which is like, whoa, I've beaten the algorithm. I'm in the groove now, which I'm very, very happy about. And I'm excited. But this ties into everything I'm going to talk about today. So we may even get a two-parter in this one because there's just so much to it. And I really thought I would talk about this later. But when this happened, it made me realize with this book in particular, with Locked Out of Heaven, it's the third edition. I call it the director's cut because I put everything that everybody told me not to put in. From day one, from the first edition, I was told I couldn't have a prologue. Nobody reads the prologue. Don't put the prologue in. But I was like, oh, but I have a really good idea for this. Was told by everybody, can't do it, can't do it. The publisher, which we're going to get into all that stuff, was my best friend at the time. Now, she was supposed to edit the book. I had an editor. I had Cleet, who's my developmental editor. Cleet Barrett-Smith is amazing, wonderful. I have nothing bad to say about Cleet. I love him. I still work with him. But he does not do line editing. He's just very minimal. Now, line editing is when they fix your apostrophes, your commas, your spelling, all of that. She was supposed to help with that. I found out she did none of that. So when the book came out, there were errors. But I really wanted to put this prologue in, and I thought about it after it had been to Cleet. She didn't think it was a good idea. I listened. I also thought she edited it. Okay. First mistake. I should have trusted my gut. My gut said to put this prologue in. I did not. Okay. I also had this idea for my character, Los the Dragon, for him to meet King Jarvok much earlier in the book. I didn't speak up after the prologue thing. Fast forward to my second publisher. I explained the whole thing again. They kind of let me put the prologue in, but it still wasn't exactly what I wanted, but I deferred again. So then I explained this idea about Jarvok meeting Los. I got a whole no. No, 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 no. Nobody's going to care about it. Don't worry about it. He's really not a major player. And I'm like, yeah, but Los is kind of the comedic relief. He tends to lighten really heavy situations. And the best way I can put it is, if you've ever watched The Big Bang Theory, you notice when Sheldon always kind of says something funny when it's a really heavy situation, like when Wallowitz's mom died and he, you know, he said something and then Penny was like, I thought he was going to say, just let it go or something. Like it's always something funny to just lighten it. That's Los. They said no. And I listened. I was scared of being labeled as difficult. And I thought, okay, they know better. I didn't trust my gut. Now, this version of Locked Out of Heaven has everything that everybody told me not to put in. And the feedback I'm getting is on those particular items. They love Los. They love seeing Los earlier. They love the prologue, the extended versions. I'm getting all of that feedback now. And now I'm on a bestseller list. It's kind of like one of those moments where you're like, duh. I should have listened to myself and trusted myself, but I was so worried about how I was going to be perceived by these people that I really believed was helping me. And it turns out they weren't. Now you can argue, go, well, they were publishers. They probably knew better. No, they didn't. Because you want to know who my editor was at the second publishing company? Take a wild guess. Another author. What publishing house do you know uses other authors who are currently writing for them as a line editor? None. It's not standard practice. And I've spoken to a lot of other publishing houses, a lot of other authors. It's not done. It's a conflict of interest. So when I went and asked these questions, do you think they were really giving me their best possible answers to help me to succeed? No. No, they were not. Nope. Was not happening. The best part, the editor, wasn't even in my genre. They were romance and erotica. Once again.
Okay.
How do you think that was going over? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take that in for a second, guys. Just step back.
Why would you have an erotic writer for a children / young teens?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's back up to the children / young teens. Let's back up. I was told I could not be in teen and young adult because I have religious connotations. My book is not religious. They are angels who cannot go home anymore and become the gods and goddesses of the polytheistic temples in human religion. They become your Roman gods and goddesses, your Egyptians throughout time because they get worship. They take on the acronym Fae. It's not what you like. It's not fairy stuff with little wings. I have like dryads and pixies, but Fae means the Fellowship Aegis of Earth, the defenders of Earth. It's a totally different origin story than most Fae things that you're probably used to, like Sarah J. Maas and that kind of thing. I spun it around. I took it away from Celtic and all that stuff. I just gave it my own twist. That's the religious thing. Yes, I've been on blasphemy lists because of it and all this other stuff, which we're going to talk about one day. I'm going to tell you what it's like to be on a blasphemy list and have the guns of God after you and everything. And it's so much fun. But they told me I could not be in teen and young adult. So they kept me against Game of Thrones and those big, heavy hitters. So I have never been in teen and young adult till now. Once again, not trusting myself. I asked to be in it. Was told no. No. You're on a blasphemy list. No. We can't put you in that. So this whole time I've been kept out of it. Kept out of the category I should be in. I have no smut in my book at all. So you would think I should be in it. I've gone to Barnes & Noble's and they've actually asked me to be in it because they said, you're like Sarah J. Maas without the smut. I'm tired of being yelled at parents who bring me Sarah J. Maas. She reads like Throne of Glass and all these others. And they're like, why is my kid reading this? Have you read the scenes in this book? And they were like, and they get returned. So a gentleman who read my book, a manager of Barnes & Noble's, was like, he asked me to do a signing because he's like, thank God. He's like, it's a Fae book. That's well-written, political intrigue, mystery. I love it. The world building. He's like, and you have no smut. He's like, please get moved. He's like, I'm going to put you on that shelf. So once again, did not trust myself. And I didn't speak up that I had an editor who was pretty much a conflict of interest. Like it didn't work. Now, I didn't know this when I signed. I was told I would have one. I always edited my books. I always did copy, line, and developmental edit before I ever even turned it in. So you would think, why the heck am I even getting charged? That's a whole other thing. We're going to get into royalty statements and all that one day. Trust me. I'm going to bring them. I'm going to show them to you. I'm going to black out the name so I don't get in trouble from my lawyers. And we're going to get into it. But back to this. Yeah. So when the book was released, I did not read my own book. I don't read my own books. Not until recently when I left the publisher did I read Locked Out of Heaven and found out. Not only, obviously, were my suggestions not taken. Chapter 2, where we meet Jarbok, it wasn't my real words. Part of it was taken out. So no suggestions, things taken out. And I still didn't really say anything.
Hold up. They took out one of your main things.
They're allowed to.
Obviously, they're allowed to. But then they had somebody else write something in to replace it?
No, it's just switched around a little bit. I had a whole thing where in the original version, Jarbok, who's known as just the nameless warrior, is walking around on a beach. And he's kind of going through what has happened. He's woken up after a battle. He's not sure. And he's walking around. And then he comes upon a bunch of bodies. This takes a long time. In this version, he wakes up and there are the bodies. No. I had a whole thing.
Not a lot of suspense, honestly.
That's gone. Yeah. And now in the new version, something different happens, which is what I always wanted. And this is what people are commenting on. And they're like, this is awesome. Love this. Great. And that's really what it comes down to is like, okay, I had it written a different way, you know, all this stuff. And I just never spoke up for myself. And while I was with this publisher, within 2-3 months when I first signed, there were rumors going around that I was fighting with the Pope. There was that the reason why other authors weren't getting into Barnes & Nobles was because of my fight with the Vatican. Let me explain something, folks. If I was fighting with the Vatican, I would be a New York Times best-selling author. Okay? I would have like an Oprah television show by now. We'd have animation specials and things because that type of publicity would propel you. I was not fighting with the Pope. There's no way I could keep other authors out of Barnes & Nobles. I am not that powerful yet. I'll let you know when it happens, but not yet. This was actually coming from people high up in the publishing house because they wanted to make it like they were really helping me and they were going to retrain me and all this stuff. Well, there were a lot of authors who were really mad at me because they believed it. Now, was the book originally, did someone try to write to the Pope and the Vatican to get it banned? Yes. The video was up for all of 5 seconds on YouTube before YouTube pulled it down. But the Pope was never after me. There was nothing like that. Like I said, I've been on blasphemy lists because people picked up the book because it's called Locked Out of Heaven. But let me preface that. It's Birth of the Fae, Locked Out of Heaven. People thought it was going to be some religious journey, and then they read it, and they were like, oh, no, it's not. There may be a chapter in there where I use a biblical event and turn it into a fae supernatural thing, but it's fiction, which, once again, we're going to get into. So with these rumors going on, I still, when I found out, and I found out about a year and a half later, I still never confronted, because when you're a fighter, especially a woman, and you have a reputation for being a competitive fighter, everybody thinks you have a short temper, like you're ready to throw down at any moment. Look, I'm a grown woman. I'm not ready to throw down with anybody. I don't fight outside the ring. The ring has rules. I like that. I don't fight on the street. The street has no rules. But for some reason, they believe it. And people who are trying to prove themselves like to go after you. One, they go after you because they know they can't take you. But they could talk a great game. And they're not really worried about you physically going after them. So it's kind of like the snake behind the glass. They like to tap it a lot because it's behind the glass. But as the Bronx Zoo says on their King Cobra thing, what would you do if it broke? Stop tapping. So there was a lot of talk. But I couldn't do anything. I was too scared to because of how I would be perceived. And once again, not trusting myself that I could handle it, to trust my instincts and to trust my gut. I just didn't do it. And I should have stood up for myself. I should have been like, whoa, why are you saying this stuff? You know, and just put it out there. But I didn't. I let the talk happen. And I kept going, it's okay. I don't care. Like, that's not the truth. And tried to be the bigger person. This is a situation where the bigger person you can still be and tactfully handle it. But I was so scared of being seen as a B-I-T-C-E that I didn't do it. And to be honest, I have resting B-I-T-C face. And I'm seen as cold and mean sometimes because I'm shy. Even sitting here behind this mic, I'm shy. This took me forever to do by myself. I've done shows, but I've always been the sidekick, the co-host. I've never done anything on my own. So I didn't do it. Let it all happen. I never really made friends within the publishing house. I made one. Everybody else hated me. Even when I went to author shows, they stayed away from me. It was very easy to make up stuff like, oh yeah, she was mean to me. Yeah, she was mean. She started stuff with me. And like I said, I just let it happen. And no fun. I just didn't trust myself. I didn't trust my gut. I didn't trust the warning signs I saw, the red flags, none of it. even with my best friend when I saw things happen in the first publishing house. And I knew something was wrong. I knew it. My gut told me. Like I said, we're going to get into that whole story. I still didn't trust myself. And that's when you know, I just should have done it. But I didn't. I'm sure that's happened to you. Tyler, that ever happened to you? Where you know you should have just, your gut told you something, good or bad, and you didn't do it?
Not really. You know, my gut, it usually makes a lot of noise, so I just try to keep that, like, I just keep it in the back burner.
Okay.
Sorry to joke, but.
No, that's fine. For writers out there, though, in fiction, characters with self-doubt also become the most compelling as long as you finish the arc through. When you write, you want to think about those your own struggles and kind of see if you can inform those choices into the characters. Do they hesitate? Do they trust themselves? What expectations or labels on themselves hold them back? If you can kind of take your own self and explore these questions and put them, infuse them into your characters, you can create characters. Really kind of build them and get some substance there. So you really want to work on that. And that might help you in the long run as well. So I think that's really, really important when you're writing. You want characters to have flaws. And lack of trust in yourself is a good flaw. But they do have to eventually figure it out. Just like we do. I'm still working on it. But it worked out for me right now. I did trust myself and I got a reward for it, which I'm thrilled and excited about. And it's not a brag, maybe a humble brag, actually. It's a little bit of a humble brag, a little bit. But I'll give you a little hint on this one. In Locked Out of Heaven, the character I expanded the most on is Los. Los is a chameleon dragon. He's named after and modeled after my little Yorkie, Carlos, who I don't care what anybody says, he's my soulmate. So the fact that he has been such a big deal and people love him probably makes this whole thing 10 times more special. Because it's just Los. And his origin is in there now. He's in earlier in the book, and people are already asking me, are you making a low stuffed animal? Are you going to do a low statue? Is he going to get his own series? It's so nice. I just wish I had trusted my gut. But the only caveat to this, there's one little caveat. Sometimes things happen at the right moment. My former publisher never marketed me. They promised, but they never did it. So maybe it didn't happen at the right time. Maybe happening now is when I can push it my way and do the books my way. Even the audiobooks, they wanted to do it their way and it was just not good. Believe me, it was really good. Now the audiobooks are done with the people I wanted it to be done with and I love them.
I haven't had the chance yet to hear your audiobook yet. Who do you have voicing it?
I have Skyboat Media, which is Stefan Rudnicki. He's a Grammy winner. He actually did President Carter's memoirs, and he won a Grammy for it. And Gabriella DeCure, they do it together. So I get a male and female voice, and I have dual narration, which I absolutely adore doing it. And the minute I heard his voice, I was like, he's King Jarbok. Like, there's no question. He's just phenomenal. I love him to death and I love her and they just nail it from beginning to end. And they binged the whole series. We did the whole series in one shot so they could stay in character the whole time. You know what? I'm going to send you a sample to play for next week. How's that?
Sounds terrific.
That's what we're going to do so everybody can kind of hear them a little bit. But yes, and my publisher did not want to go with them originally. They actually got everybody else and told me, that they didn't want to work with me. So when this whole thing fell through and I left them, I went back to Skyboat and we reconnected. Once again, that I trusted my gut on. I always knew Skyboat was the right way to go. Always knew they were good. And they were the one piece I was always very sure of. And I'm distributed by Blackstone, who distributes Robert Downey Jr.'s books. And, you know, hey, if it's good for Iron Man and Doctor Doom, it's good for me. So I'm happy with that. But I was always positive with them. And that's a place where I did trust my gut. But everything before, no, I haven't. I let them talk me out of covers that I wanted to do, illustrations, all those different things. I just deferred because I just didn't want to be seen as ungrateful, difficult, all of those. So it was bad. But before we close the chapter on today's episode, I want to ask you, when was the last time you held back on something important because you doubted yourself? And if you could do it all over again, what would you say? Self-trust isn't something that happens overnight. Believe me, I'm still working on it. But it is a journey worth taking. And that I can completely attest to. It's something that you have to work on because there's a reward at the end. It's prickly. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. The conversations are not easy with yourself or with the other person. But when you do, there is something there. There is something there that is beautiful and rewarding. And look, your instinct might not always work. It might not always play out. But even if you fall flat on your face, you fell flat on your face because of the decision you made, not because of someone else's. And that's what I'm saying now as I'm doing this journey by myself. If I fall flat on my face, it's because of me. It's not because I listened to someone else. So I will see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys, and I can't wait to talk to you again. You can catch me on DM Morsino, author. That's my new Instagram, and Birth of the Fae, or check the books out on Amazon. Thank you so much.